Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints, the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom of the church, so that we might be better equipped to deal with the tumult and challenges of this life. No better reason, no better topic in relationship to what we always talk about in terms of the challenges of life and the joys of life and overcoming with joy, is today we're going to be talking with the author of Why All People Suffer. Why All People Suffer. Incredibly important topic. Do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes.
Author of this book?
Yes. Dr. Paul Chaloux was born in Maine in 1960 to Paul and Dolly Chaloux, the oldest of six children. He grew up in North Virginia and attended public schools. After graduating with a chemical engineering degree from the University of Virginia in 1982, Paul worked for over 30 years as an engineer, manager, and strategist for IBM in upstate New York. While there, he also served as a catechist for 15 years at St. Columba Parish in Hopewell Junction, New York. In 2015, after earning a master's degree in religious education, from Fordham. There you go. And retiring from IBM, Paul was accepted into the PhD program at Catholic University of America to study catechetics with the goal of teaching future catechists. However, his plans changed dramatically when he was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease just after moving to Washington, D.C. for his studies. His new neurologist, after learning that Paul was studying theology, asked him why people suffer. He had no answer since it was not his intended field of study, but the question intrigued him enough to cause him to take up the subject. 5 years later, after having earned his PhD in moral theology, Dr. Chaloux wrote Why All People Suffer, for general audiences as a follow-on to his dissertation, The Grace Concealed in Suffering, Developing Virtue and Beatitude, which he defended at CUA on March 5th of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. Wow. Mm-hmm. Dr. Chaloux currently teaches theology as an adjunct professor at the Catholic University of America and serves as a catechist at St. Agnes Parish in Arlington, Virginia. He has been married for over 30 years to his wife, Sue, and they have four adult children and three granddaughters. Wow, what an important book.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chaloux.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you don't mind jumping in a little bit on the personal side, because I think it helps people to connect with you and with your motivations. So you had this conversation with your neurologist. Did he know that you were writing a dissertation at the time, or how did it come up that he asked you that question, or she?
Well, it was she, and it came up that she asked me what I was doing, and I said I was going to study theology at Catholic University. She said, "Oh, then you know why people suffer." I said, "Dude, what are you talking about? That's not my field of study." She said, "Well, it's very important because everybody asks me this question. I'm a doctor. I don't have any idea why it happens. I just try to fix them." Hmm. And she said, "You need to study this." And she was, and then it kept going for a little while, and then I did start delving into it in my classes, and I became intrigued because I found out that most people leave the church because of suffering.
Wow.
And that intrigued me, that as a catechist, I was really interested in bringing people to the faith. So that was the impetus for me to really do it.
That's awesome. Now, did you get a copy of your book back to the neurologist?
Oh yeah.
That's great.
The last time I met her, because she passed me on to another doctor recently, but, I handed her my dissertation and said, here's your answer. Mm. And she was shocked.
It seems that our society is bent on trying to protect people from suffering.
To prevent it at all costs.
To prevent it at all costs, which causes all kinds of other suffering or whatever. But in your study, because I've not gone to an in-depth level of study as you had. I had a lot of suffering as a child and as an adult as well, and did a pretty in-depth study of the New Testament myself. I didn't write a book about it, but just to deal with it, just to find the answers, because I knew Jesus was the answer to the most important question, and then I was wrestling with how to deal with suffering. I was quite surprised by what I found in the New Testament. For instance, just how many times suffering is promised as part of following God as necessary and all of that. Did anything in particular, as you dove into this, did anything in particular surprise you at a pretty significant level where you didn't know, hadn't thought about, that just became crystal clear for you?
Well, you know, I had a lot of suffering in my life too. I started with congenital heart defect, and I had open heart surgery twice by the time I was 17. Mm-hmm. My arm was paralyzed during one of those surgeries. I got hepatitis C with the other one, and for the transfusions, and that caused me to have the drugs that they gave me back then. Now you take a pill and it's all gone, but back then it was interferon and shots and ribavirin pills, and it made me very nauseous for 6 months. Mm. And I lost 40 pounds the last month of it.
Wow.
And because I got contracted celiac disease is a version of wheat, and if you eat wheat, it destroys your intestines. And so I was thinking I was making myself better by eating bread and stuff like that, because that's what people do for comfort food, right?
Right.
And so it was destroying my intestines. I lost 40 pounds, and I was nauseous for 15 years. Then I just kind of came out of that, and then I got diagnosed with Parkinson's. So one continuous thing for pretty much my whole life. But you know, it prepares you for this kind of discussion, and you know, I recognize in retrospect that all of this was building up to the point that I was going to be able to speak to it. But the thing that surprised me most when I started going into it was, first of all, that it's not very well covered in Catholic teaching. You know, in the Catechism, thick as it is, there's only two references to suffering in the entire index.
Wow.
And in the Summa, which is another big source for me, they don't talk about it either. There's not one question associated with why do people suffer.
Hmm.
So it's a problem that people deal with, but it wasn't well covered. So I was trying to fill a gap here. And the thing that got me was John Paul II wrote a short letter on it, Salve Vita Dolores. And in that one, he brought out a point that really was made it crystal clear for me what was the driver, was that evil was not the opposite of good, but was the absence of good. That was a key thought for me, because I had a feeling that suffering was good for you. And then that told me and he also alluded to the fact that suffering was not an action, but a sense, ability to sense evil. So it's so suffering is the ability to sense when you when you're in being threatened by evil, which is the absence of good. So it tells you when you need something. Mm-hmm. So suffering is a message from God that you need something that's critical to your well-being, and it's not necessarily for your life, but it can be for your existence. Wow. And your ongoing existence, right?
Wow. What you just said, there's so much there. I can't even wrap my head around it, but if I were to say it back to you, what you're saying is that suffering is an indication that we need something, that something's missing for our good, whether it's our spiritual good, emotional good, physical good, that we're missing something. And therefore it's we are noting something evil. We're able to see it, this absence of God. And therefore it leads us to seek him. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. That's right. That's the key. That's the whole key. Wow. This whole discussion.
Wow.
And when you think about it that way, it changes everything about how you see it suffering.
You know, Steph, it's what we've talked about a lot, about suffering being like a dashboard light on the car. So you have a, you know, it says something's wrong here. And we often talk about, Dr. Shalhoub, suffering being an invitation. And we're talking, of course, not in a perfectly universal sense, but generally speaking, an invitation to healing. Or at a spiritual level, an invitation to draw near to God. Does that make sense to you? Have you?
Yeah, absolutely. And what it's doing is it's an evil detector. It tells you when you're it's like a giant smoke detector, but it's much more complicated than that, right? Because it has to be more sensitive than that. But when you suffer, it's telling you something. It's a divine message to you. You are a divine messenger. You are giving a message. God's telling you something you need, and you need to share that with everybody else because they need it too. And it's an invitation to be a messenger of God.
Mm-hmm. So what is the answer to the question, Dr. Shalhoub? Why do all people suffer?
We all have needs.
We all have needs.
Yeah.
So help us to understand this. Help us to get us around, especially in light of, and we have about a minute and a half before the break. In light of your revelation and what is true, that so many people leave the church because they do not understand why they're suffering. They leave the church. I'm suffering. I'm hurting. Nobody can help me. My children have gone astray. My marriage is falling apart. I'm ill. All of these things are happening and I can't find the answer.
And you know what? I don't want to cut his answer short because we are running close to the break. So I'm going to remind people we're talking with Dr. Paul Shalhoub. He's written a very important book, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. I would add to draw us near to him, to heal us, to help us to heaven. When we come back from the break, he'll help us dig a little deeper into this very challenging topic, but one that certainly needs to be addressed more fully. And he's done so in this great book published by Sophia Institute Press. You can find it at EWTN's religious catalog. And you can find all good books there. They're all well vetted. And you can trust EWTN to only present the best material. So check out EWTN Religious Catalog. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, friends. We want to personally invite you to check out all of our upcoming retreats here at Avila. Head over to spiritualdirection.com/events or click on the events tab on the top of spiritualdirection.com and sign up now for one of our powerful mini retreats, Setting the Captives Free or Into the Deep or Divine Intimacy in Marriage. Now with both live and online options, our mini retreats can be live streamed right into your living room or parish meeting room. Discover why these events sell out time and time again. That's spiritualdirection.com/events. Register today. There is a growing need for well-formed, solid spiritual directors in the church today. The Avila Institute, in collaboration with Heart of Christ Spiritual Direction Program, offers a certificate in spiritual direction for those who feel called to accompany others in their journey towards God. The program is grounded in Ignatian and Carmelite spirituality based on a Catholic worldview and draws on the wisdom of the saints with an emphasis on biblical principles and the new evangelization. This program offers both online and on-site classes. Discover more and apply today at avila-institute.org.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, talking with the author of Why All People Suffer, Dr. Paul Shalhoub. So, Stephanie, you had a really important question before the break, and I wanted to give it time. Right. Can you restate it real quickly?
So, we want to dig into the question or into the answer to the question of why all people suffer. Why do they suffer? And especially in light of the fact that so many people leave the church in the midst of their suffering. They're suffering because their children have gone astray, they're ill, their marriages are falling apart, their finances, you know, whatever it is, this suffering is happening. They don't find their answers and they don't feel like anybody either hears them or can help them. And so they leave. which is the absolute opposite, right? So why do people suffer? Why do all people suffer? What's the answer? And where do we find the relief for it? What is it trying to get us to do?
Well, first of all, suffering is something that you heed. It's not something you avoid. It's something, it's a message from God saying what you need to do. And so, but people get, most people who leave the church because of suffering feel like they're being punished for something they didn't do by an unfair God, or that's just wrath, that you see wrathful God. But it's exactly the opposite of what's happening. And that's why this is important to understand, is that what he's doing is leading you to it. He's showing you what you need. So if you're hungry, you need food, right? If you're in pain, you need relief. And there's four tasks of suffering, that four reasons that suffering occurs. The first one is for just to bring people to virtue. And it teaches virtue. But simple feedback loops. You know, it teaches temperance, because if you eat too much, you'll feel sick. If you drink too much, you'll feel sick. And so you try to avoid those things. If you're not just with people that you're working with, they will complain to you, and that will make you uncomfortable, and that will make you not do that. And all the classical virtues, temperance, prudence, justice, and
fortitude.
Fortitude, yeah, that's it. Thank you. Are all taught by these simple feedback loops. Now, the second set of task of suffering is to bring you closer to God, to align you to God, and it happens in one of two ways. One way is with what we just talked about. You build virtue. You start seeing that good things happen when you follow that, and you start recognizing that it comes from God, and you start following God. The other way is the way that St. Paul found it, got knocked off his horse and blinded, right? The only way he could see the light was to be put in a position where he couldn't see anything else. Well, if you get sick enough, or you'll get in that same situation. You'll have no place else to turn but to God, and you'll start aligning yourself. Then the third task of suffering is to unleash your love of a neighbor. Would you see somebody that's suffering, to help them and teach you to love and to be loved? So the first one teaches love of self. The second one teaches love of God. The third one teaches the love of neighbor. And the last one is redemptive love, which teaches you to love like Jesus did, where you are willing to suffer for the sake of somebody else, which is what Jesus did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes you from sin to salvation, those four tasks.
Mm.
So that's why, so any of those four tasks can be the reason why you're suffering.
Now, obviously, suffering is universal. And so I'm guessing I know the answer to this question, but I think it's a good one for those who are listening to make sure, you didn't write this, you wrote a thesis on this, but then you created a more popular work. Who are you aiming this work at? Who are you trying to help? Well, why? Who is it written for?
It's written for two sets of people. One set of people is the people who have fallen from the faith. And so for them to understand why they suffered and that it was leading them to something, not leading them away from something, not pushing them away from something. So that they could embrace the suffering and understand it. The second was for people who were just trying to understand Catholic theology. So it all fits together with all the pieces. So what I've shown in this book is how suffering is part of the plan, and how God's plan comes to fruition in the beatific vision, which I define for the new generation as a supercharged internet where you absorb all that is good and true,
mm-hmm.
Which is much different and with complete bandwidth and everything else. So it all fits together. And that's one of the things that's important to me. When I started out doing this, I was looking to make sure it was true, right? Because I didn't want to be labeled a heretic at the end of the thing.
Which leads to our next question, Dr. Shalhoub. So who are your sources for figuring out, like, you know, who are we to say, you know, why we suffer, to have those kind of answers? So where did you go for those answers? Where's your theology based out of?
Well, in the end game here, there's 438 references in this book. 140 of them are from Scripture. Mm-hmm. 100 of them for the Catechism. And in St. John Paul II, 50 of them, and 50 of them from Thomas Aquinas. And 100 from all the various other doctors of the church, and even some secular authors and some other things. So it was built basically on four pillars. Scripture, John Paul II, the Catechism of the Church, and Thomas Aquinas. All pretty reputable names.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I think the Holy Spirit is the one who brought us Scripture, so I think that's a good source. Yeah. For my own, in my own journey, and I want to get your reaction to this. As I mentioned, I went through a lot of suffering. I can't remember if I did it before the show or during when I was a kid, and then even to now in terms of health-wise. And I did an in-depth study of the New Testament. I came out with a summary, and I'm just curious your reaction. So I typed out every verse related to suffering and then asked myself, well, how would I summarize this? So here's the summary. If I have not been in pain, he has not relieved me. If I have not been sad, he has not lifted my heart to heaven. If I have not been reviled, he has not comforted me. If I have not been abandoned, he has not come to me. If I have not been broken, he has not healed me. If I have not been lost, he has not shown me the way. If I have not been in sin, he has not redeemed me. If I have not been without a friend, he has not walked beside me. If I have not mourned, he has not comforted me. If I have not been betrayed, he has not restored me. If I have not been in chains, he has not set me free. If I have not wept, he has not dried my tears. If I have not been in the depths of darkness, he has not brought me into the light. If I have not suffering, I have not known him. How does that strike you?
It strikes me as being true. and the point is that suffering is leading you to, God is leading you to where he wants you to be with suffering. Mm-hmm. And so all those things that you listed are things where you start deviating, when you fall from the path, mm-hmm. nudges you back on the path of suffering. And when you stay on the path, you get joy.
Right.
And so joy is not in opposition to suffering. Joy is the culmination of suffering. When you suffered properly and taken heed and acted on it in a positive way, then you get joy.
I can't agree more. Are you, just to be sure, because I think it's a point worth reiterating, are you saying that it is possible to have joy or to know joy during or after the most difficult kinds of suffering? Maybe elaborate a bit more on your perspective on joy and suffering.
Well, so joy is God, when you are doing what God wants you to do, you feel joy. Mm-hmm. And so when you're suffering, if you think about it as God is pointing you to where you want to be and that God is taking an interest in you, then you can have joy because you can see that that's part of the plan. Hmm. And after the fact, after the suffering's over and you've heeded it and you've done what you need to do, then you of course will have joy.
But if you run from the, if you try to inebriate in whatever way, so we can
or avoid it,
yeah. And I would call that inebriation, like any avoidance, whether it be drugs or alcohol or, you know, whatever it is that turns you away from facing the suffering. What does that do to you, Dr. Shalhoub? How does that affect you?
It adds more suffering.
Right.
It just adds more suffering because God is persistent. God is not going to give up on you. He's going to continue to push you with suffering until you either die or you come back to the faith. And that's a matter of your own choice. You have personal choice as to whether you heed the suffering, whether you follow what's being asked of you. Hmm. And
so it's the hound of heaven.
Yeah. Hmm.
He pursues us until we turn back to him.
You're not going to outlast God. You're just not going to outlast God. You know, he's going to be there with you until the end.
Do you think, you know, when I did my study on suffering in the New Testament, I was a non-Catholic, and of course, I was a scripture alone guy at the time. which is problematic. The scripture is not problematic. And that really gave me hope, as it gave me a sense of purpose and reason behind suffering. I suspect then, given so many references in your book to scripture, that this book might also reach non-Catholics. Is that something you had in mind, or tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This book is the truth is for everyone, and the message of hope is good, and gracious God is universal. So there's no reason that people cannot understand this. In fact, the first step of suffering is to self-love, which doesn't require any faith at all. Just requires you to do what suffering tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this book to me can appeal to everybody, and it has appealed to people because who have not have no faith or other faiths, because you know they talk to me, you know, after they've read it, and the thing is, the truth is truth. And like you, if they follow the truth and they see all these things interact with Catholic teaching, it'll bring them back to the church too.
Right? Amen. Amen. Well, so everyone listening has suffered or is suffering.
Or will suffer.
Or will suffer, or knows somebody who also has or will. Mm-hmm. And if you want to help them, I strongly recommend this book, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us, by Dr. Paul Chaloux. You can find it at EWTN's religious catalog, and any of the books, of course, that we promote are important, and we're pretty picky. Published by Sophia, who's doing amazing work. Thank you, Dr. Chaloux, for being with us today and for doing all this work, and I hope everyone out there will go pick up two copies, one for yourself and one for that person you love who's struggling.
Yes. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.